Well, welcome back to the Heights Podcast, and I want to say a very Merry Christmas. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors at Heights Baptist Church in Alvin, and we have this podcast to help you take your next step of faith. And we also have this podcast so that we can wear awesome Christmas outfits and we can wear Santa hats. And I am joined today by two fantastic co-hosts for our Christmas edition of the Heights Podcast. I'm joined by Pastor Jonathan McMeans. Thanks for being here, Jonathan.
It's good to be here.
And it's a very nice shirt you have on today.
Thank you. It's Hawaiian and Santa.
We are also joined today by Buddy the Elf, but Buddy the Elf is not going to be saying very much.
It's more like silent screams.
Yeah, he's just kind of going to be in the background, I think.
That's right.
All right. Are you ready for Christmas?
I'm getting there. Almost. I'm on my way.
I think the meme is from Neverland.
Okay.
When there, you know, there's the meme where Johnny Depp and there's the kid and they're on the bench in the park.
Yes,
the you know the meme.
I know
the. And so the meme starts out. He says, "You know, is your family ready for Christmas?" And the kid says, "My parents are musicians." And then they just have a good cry. And that's kind of how it's been at my house for the last couple of weeks, because we've had a couple of big Christmas concerts.
Yes.
But we had fantastic Christmas concerts last week. Had wonderful Christmas songs at Heights. And so now we can start, you know, decorating the tree and getting some presents
and wearing hats on the podcast.
I've got my ugly sweater now.
Nice.
My ugly Christmas sweater.
I love it.
So Christmas. Jonathan, what is your favorite thing about Christmas?
Oh, there are a lot of things I love about Christmas. It's definitely my favorite holiday. I really love the now that I'm a dad, I love getting to do things with my toddler and just see the sense of wow as we decorate and as we put presents under the tree. And she says, "Dad, are those for me?" And I'm like, "Well, some of them are." And I get a lot of joy out of that. And
she just grinning from ear to ear.
Oh, the whole time. And she keeps going and like looking at the tree skirt underneath the tree and is like, looking under it for presents, seeing if we forgot one or if there's one that's coming soon or anything like that. It's really classic.
That's fantastic. One of my favorite things to do every year with my kids is there's a couple of books I love to read. I love to read How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Okay.
And one of the reasons why I'm going to go on a side quest here, but one of the reasons I love to read How the Grinch Stole Christmas is because the final pages of that book to me are a beautiful illustration of what repentance looks like.
Okay.
You know, when we talk about the whole idea of repentance, about changing, about a change in mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of action.
Absolutely.
And so we go through that story and I read it, you know, I read it dozens of times throughout the month of December, but I'll unpack that for the kids. And we'll talk about how, you know, the first thing that happens is that the Grinch realizes that Christmas is about something more.
Right.
And then it says that his heart grew two sizes that day. And then he turns around and he heads back down the mountain with the sled and he gets all and gives back all the presents. And then he ends up with a brand new family. And so to me, I mean, obviously I'm reading something into the story there. When Dr. Seuss says Christmas is about something a little bit more, like I go ahead and put that little bit more meaning, the fact that Jesus came, right, that the Word became flesh. But in my mind, like the way I interpret that story, it's a beautiful picture of what happens when we come to understand the gospel. So I love to read that, and my kids love it, and we read it over and over and over again. And then the other one that we just finished last night that I read to them every year is The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Have you ever read that book?
I have. It's been a long time.
It's one of my favorite books ever, and I love seeing the Christmas story through the eyes of someone who's never heard it before.
Yeah.
You know, and the crazy questions that they ask and the interesting ideas that they have about the Christmas story when they're experiencing it for the first time. And every time we get to the, you know, that there's seven chapters in the book, because I know this because I read chapter seven last night, and I get to the end and I'm bawling like a baby the whole time. And my kids are all rolling their eyes and making fun of me like, "Dad, you can't make it through this chapter.
You're crying again."
You know, but hey, unto you a child is born. Like, yeah. I just love that. So those are two of my like favorite things to do at Christmas time.
Okay. So Grinch is basically the story of Zacchaeus. And also Matt cries when he reads books to his kids.
Matt definitely cries when he reads books to his kids.
I like it.
Christmas movies. Favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, there is not really a big debate in my mind or in my heart. It has to be Die Hard.
Absolutely.
I made a case to some of our students the other day. They argued with me that Die Hard was not a Christmas movie. And that is a losing strategy. You will never win that fight with me. And I said, you can make a better case for Die Hard being a Christmas movie than half of the Hallmark Christmas movies being a Christmas movie. There is a Christmas soundtrack. There is more Christmas music in Die Hard than most other Christmas movies. And it's even got all of the fun dialogue to go with it. It's basically a melodrama where you can play along and throw popcorn at the screen.
Well, we have it on good authority that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Yes, we do.
Because Pastor Lee in his office,
yes,
has a Die Hard advent calendar.
Yes, he does.
Where you actually get to move the guy. I've never seen Die Hard, but that's what's the guy's name?
We're done with the podcast. We're done with it. Yes, Pastor Lee has a Hans Gruber, the Hans name Gruber. Of the terrorist falling off of.
Not Franz Gruber. Franz Gruber is the guy who wrote Silent Night.
Come on, man.
Hans Gruber,
yes,
falling down the tower.
Yes.
What's the tower called?
Nakatomi.
Nakatomi Tower.
That's
okay.
Right. So,
and falls, when you get to December 25th, it's all the way on the bottom.
It's all the way at the bottom. Yeah. And spoiler alert, he dies.
Okay.
At the bottom because he hits the ground.
So here's a question I have for you. So Die Hard is not just one movie. Die Hard's a whole franchise.
Sure.
There's like, what, five or six of them?
There's enough.
I've not seen any of
them.
We're
done with the Die Hard movies. Please, Hollywood, if you are listening, Bruce Willis is old.
Are all of the Die Hard movies Christmas movies or just the first one?
No. One and two are both Christmas movies.
Okay.
And then after that, they tried to expand and managed to make them worse.
A lot of
series. A lot of series have done this.
Any other Christmas movies you like?
Yeah, I love some really good, wholesome family classic. You know, and I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking Jonathan's about to say White Christmas. No, I'm thinking like Home Alone.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, the classic family movies that you sit around. And I know you're thinking probably Christmas Story. And no, it's Die Hard 2. So we've got Die Hard, Home Alone, Die Hard 2. These are the Christmas movies that we celebrate in the McMeans household, typically when the three-year-old has gone to bed because she's not quite ready for Die Hard yet.
There you go. I really like the Nativity Story from several okay. years back, the one that has Oscar Isaac in it.
Yeah.
I really like that movie.
100%.
Okay. I think that's a great Christmas movie. Then I really like the animated version from a few years ago called The Star. It's basically the same movie only with cartoons.
Yes.
I like that one a lot. Like,
okay.
It's tons of fun.
So Jonathan likes Die Hard and Matt likes the Bible put into cartoon.
Yes.
And so one of these is not like the other.
One of these is not at all like the
yes.
others. And then, of course, I love It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
But I will tell you this. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
I watched it last year or the year before. It's a Wonderful Life hits different as a grown up.
Okay.
As you're just watching their struggles mm-hmm. and how he makes decisions that are in the best interests of other people, but maybe not necessarily in his best interests or in the best interests of his family, and the cost that it's a much harder movie to watch as an adult than it was as a kid. Because I have a little, as somebody who's a father and has a family of my own and a provider, like there's more going on there than I understood when I was little and just was waiting for the angel to get his wings. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
I love the story of It's a Wonderful Life because it's the community that comes through.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think that's, I know it's, I'm just like pulling out like sermon illustrations or whatever, but like that's the way that I think that when we talk about being a connecting church,
right.
You know, we want to be a community. We want to be a part of a new family. And and one of the things that families do is they take care of each other. And so we in the church should have that same kind of attitude when it comes to generosity and taking care of one another that you see in that, you know, classic
yeah.
Christmas movie.
That's good. It's really good.
Famous, our favorite Christmas cookies or candy.
Okay. I really like the little Debbie trees.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? It's basically the same as all their other desserts, but Christmas.
Yeah, and they're tree-shaped.
They're tree-shaped.
And you can only get them for a few weeks.
That's right. But those are great. And I can eat a pack of those. And it's always a bad life choice. It always, you know, wrecks me pretty good. And I think that was a bad life choice. But while I'm eating it, I think they should have these year-round.
So. They do. They're just not shaped like trees.
Yes. I also really like eggnog. So I know that's not really candy. It's not really cookies.
That's what I was going to say.
But eggnog, oh, so good. That's one of my favorites.
So my mom used to make a few different kinds of Christmas cookies.
Okay.
At Christmas time. And one of the cookies that she made, she called Buckeyes. And they were like this peanut butter ball that was dipped in chocolate. Okay. And it was just like, it was very rich. It was almost more like a fudge than a cookie, like with its consistency. Yeah. Very, very sweet, very, very rich. But my favorite thing in the entire world when it came to Christmas time, I just loved it.
Nice.
And then I would also say, in fact, I was telling my wife yesterday, because I've been trying to like make better choices about what I'm eating and things like that.
Sure.
So I was like, okay, I want to make sure that sometime before the season is over, I get some eggnog, but I'm not going to buy it now. You know, but I'm somewhere between now and like December the 25th. I want to get some eggnog before it's all gone.
Sure.
But, you know, I want to have a moment somewhere between right now and the end of the year where I get a little bit of eggnog.
Do you take a day off of, you know, being on the wagon, being on your diet? You're like, you know what? It's the 25th. Give me the cookies. Give me the nog. The 26th is a day away. We'll get back on the wagon later.
That will probably happen.
That's
That's kind of like what Thanksgiving looks like.
It's not really getting off of the wagon. It's more just like kind of scooting to the side of the wagon for a little bit.
There you go. That's a good way to think about it. Christmas lights.
I do like them.
Do you like colored or do you like white? What do you prefer?
Okay. I really like the big incandescent ones that burn houses down. Those are the ones that I think look the classiest. I'm always a sucker for white, but I'm also the weird guy that likes the blue ones as long as they don't do the weird trippy eye thing.
Right.
You know, just a good, classy, solid blue or solid white is just, to me, it's super classy.
So we've got a Christmas tree at the house, and depending on what button you push, it can either be white or multicolored or flashing.
Oh.
And it's funny because I have read on the internet recently that the way it's supposed to work is that the dads are always supposed to like the colored lights, and then the wives are supposed to like the moms are supposed to like the white lights. It's the opposite in my house. Like I was like, give me the white lights, like, and but everyone else in my family besides me wants the colored. But nice. But yesterday we were trying to watch something on TV and somebody pushed the flashing button.
Oh.
And so they were like flashing and changing the whole time. And I like stopped. I was like, look, y'all can have whatever color you want, but you have to make it stop flashing.
You have to make it stop flashing.
Like, you got to pick one or the other. Like we just can't have this.
Yes. Like, yes.
But we like to go look at lights. That's fun.
Love it.
It's fun to just drive around in the neighborhood and look at everybody else that has lights up.
Yeah. I don't really care for the yard inflatables.
Okay.
It's a personal thing my whole life. And so I was shocked to find this year that, I came home one day basically to a 4-foot inflatable unicorn Santa corn. I don't
Santa
know.
Santa on a unicorn?
Oh no, it's a unicorn dressed like Santa. And I thought, okay, this hits different. I wasn't expecting to come home to a Santa corn on my front porch, but lo and behold, I have a white unicorn as a yard decoration. So as you're driving around looking at Christmas lights around Alvin, you can find mine. We're the only one.
That's awesome. Favorite Christmas song or songs?
Oh, okay, so I absolutely love This Is War.
Oh, yeah.
By the Modern Post.
We played that one on Sunday.
We did. That was brilliant.
That was
one of my all-time favorites. It's a great picture of the gospel. And I am not a huge Christmas music fan.
Okay.
I love music.
You're not the guy who's listening to like Sunny 99.1.
No, I am not.
Starting on November the 1st.
I love the message of Christmas. I'm a big theology nerd, but when it comes to Christmas songs, whether they're Christian or they're contemporary or they're classics, I get bored with them. Mm-hmm. And I think I've heard this over and over again. So when I do find Christmas songs that I do like, they tend to be a little more edgy. They're newer. They're not going to be things that would be considered classics. Mm-hmm. They're going to be little or lesser well known. So This Is War by Modern Post. You should definitely check it out if you've not heard it before. You could hear our amazing worship team leading us if you go back, probably not far from where you found this episode, and listen to the live version by the Heights Praise Team. I also really like, it's by a band that was going when I was in junior high. I think they're still going. It's called Reliant K. They've got a Christmas song that is called I Celebrate the Day.
Oh, dude, you picked my song.
And
I love that song. That's on the top of my list.
I think those two are probably my go-to. They're both weird. They're both different. They're not ones you're likely to hear at most of your Christmas pageants. Mm-hmm. Won't make the radio. And then I would say the runner-up would probably be The Wait Is Over by Austin Stone.
Oh, man. You've got some great choices there.
Yes, sir.
I love O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I love O Holy Night. But definitely on the short list of any list of Christmas songs.
Dominic the Donkey.
I'm not familiar with that.
No.
Is that a song or is that a person? Is Dominic the one that's in the cartoon movie that we were talking about? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just know that there's a Christmas song with an obnoxious donkey called Dominic the Donkey, and I was trying to guess what your top one was.
Does that have anything to do with a hippopotamus?
No.
Or Two Front Teeth.
It is better than the hippopotamus song. You've heard it here first. Dominic the Donkey.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
But I do love I Celebrate the Day by Reliant K.
Oh, so that's good.
It's one of my very, very favorite Christmas songs. And I, controversial opinion, I really love Mary, Did You Know?
Okay.
There's a whole kind of school of thought on the internet that says, you know, don't sing Mary, Did You Know? She did know the angel told her so.
Yep.
Which is like technically, literally true.
Sure.
But I think like if you explore Mary, Did You Know from a poetic and kind of a theological and an emotional lens.
Right.
Like, did Mary really know everything that was going to be entailed?
Right.
And what it meant to be the mother of the Christ child?
Right.
You know, and can we put ourselves, can we figuratively, metaphorically, poetically try and put ourselves in her shoes for a moment and ask ourselves the question, like, what did that
right.
You know what I mean? And so I just love the contemplating the mystery of the incarnation.
Right. That's really good. That's really good. That's a great song.
Now we've used that word. We're going to transition a little bit away from some of the kind of the fun, silly stuff. And we're going to try and like dig in a little bit here, but like we've used that word a couple of times already on this episode, the whole idea of the incarnation. But just in case we've got people listening that are like, are they talking about chili? Like, what are they talking about? And, can you kind of give us a working definition of what we mean when we say the incarnation?
So the picture I think of is in the Gospel of John, the way that it starts out, it talks about the Word. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Word is a picture of Christ. And it says, and he came in and dwelt among us, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we believe the incarnation is the Word from John chapter 1 made flesh. It was God coming to have a relationship with us and to ultimately cover the consequences of our sin through Jesus. It is the foundational piece, the bottom piece of the gospel story is the incarnation, the Word that came as a human.
Yeah. Ever since the Garden of Eden, as you move through the story of the Old Testament, the problem is that sin has separated us from God.
Right.
And we sin has broken the relationship that we had with God, and we no longer have that unlimited access to God that we had when we were created,
right,
because of the problem of sin. And so as you move through the Old Testament and you're reading through like Exodus and Leviticus, and you're looking at, you know, the sacrificial system and the tabernacle and the temple, it's all about how is it possible for God's people to be in his presence? How is it possible for God to have a relationship with his people,
right,
when we are when we're prevented in that relationship by sin?
Right.
You know, and the answer is that the Word becomes flesh.
Absolutely.
And in fact, that word, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's in that same Greek word is translated in the Septuagint, in the Old Testament Greek translation,
right,
and tabernacled among us. It's the same
right.
word.
Right.
You know, so the whole idea that God came and pitched his tent with us.
Right.
You know, and that's ultimately what allows for our salvation. You
right.
know, the fact that Jesus came to save.
Yeah, that's good.
And as I was very well reminded by some memes that I got from Jonathan over the past couple of weeks.
Yes.
That's the most beautiful gift of Christmas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Word made flesh.
The Word made flesh.
So you're going to hear a lot this season about how love for one another is the reason for the season. You're going to see commercials and ads all over the place about how family is the most important and kind of the top of the top. And as somebody that is a pastor, theologian, I cringe a little bit when I see things, even that have good messages with them, because even with the cliche, Jesus is the reason for the season, most Christians don't even like really believe or acknowledge that, right? And so this Christmas, just remember that this whole thing, this whole season is about the incarnation of Christ. It is about the Word becoming flesh.
God becoming man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think just in, just to kind of summarize like what we've talked about, you know, Christmas is a wonderful time for us to celebrate and reflect on the incarnation, which means that the Word became flesh.
Yes.
You know, that God himself stepped out of eternity and into human history.
Right.
And Jesus Christ spent 30-ish years learning what it was like to be a human. He was like us in every way, except he never sinned.
Yes.
And then he spent about 3 years of ministry showing us exactly what it means to follow, and then gave his life for us so that we can have salvation. And that's the greatest Christmas gift that was ever given.
Yeah.
So as we spend time with our families this holiday season, as we spend time reflecting, as we spend time at church, let's remember that's what it's about.
Absolutely.
And let's, as we celebrate the lights, as we watch the movies, as we enjoy the traditions,
yes,
as we eat foods that we shouldn't eat,
yes, you know,
let's remember that we're celebrating the fact that God became a man.
I love it. I think one last thing. I am a book nerd. I love to read. So on the topic of the incarnation, one of my favorite books, I read it most Christmases, is by one of the early church fathers, Athanasius. And he wrote one that's called On the Incarnation. And quite a good book this time of year. Also, there are a number of good Advent devotionals that can really help spur your thought in the Christmas season. And so kind of going along with what you said, if you're wrestling with your perspective on some of the things dealing with the incarnation and the birth of Christ, I would say start by reading. A lot of churches are going to say Luke or Matthew, and I would say start with John chapter 1. And then pick up an old book and read it. Athanasius on the Incarnation. Very good.
So my book recommendation was How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes.
And your book recommendation was On the Incarnation by Athanasius.
100%.
I think that's probably about fitting.
That's right. Love it.
Well, I want to say thank you guys so much for joining us for this special holiday edition of the Heights podcast. And we want to let you know that we worship every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at our campus in Alvin, Texas. And we have coming up soon, we've got a special services for Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve's on a Sunday this year. So we'll have our regular service at 10:30. And then we'll also have a special candlelight service at 5 p.m. So we'd invite you to join us for those special times of worship. You can also check us out online. We live stream to Facebook and YouTube. Once again, have a great rest of 2023, and we'll be bringing you new podcast episodes early in 2024. God bless.